You're listening to the USCA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USCA eventing news. Welcome to the USCA official podcast, and it is, listeners, the American Eventing Championships presented by Neutrino Feeds coming your way this week. We are so excited. We have got so much in store for you. Over 1,000 competitors will be defending on the Kentucky Horse Park to fight it out across, I think, 7 different divisions in total. And I have gathered 3 excellent guests to preview what is in store for you. I will start by saying a very warm welcome, Rob Burke. It has been ages since we have had you on the show. It is good to have you back.
Thanks, Nicole. It's good to be back.
It is lovely to hear your voice. And I know that you're a big AECs fan, and I'm sure it has taken up a large portion of your brain space, working time, personal time, everything over the last few months as well. So we're going to get your thoughts very shortly. I will also say a very, very big warm welcome back to the USCA podcast to a man who I actually spoke to for the first time this time last year, Lee Carter, who is the executive director of Equestrian Events Inc. Lee, thank you so much for coming back. Obviously, we spoke pre-AECs in 2020. I am delighted that a year on, we are all systems go.
Nicole, it's good to be back. Good, thanks for taking the time. And yeah, we're excited about the week ahead. It's going to be a fun time to be out at the park and see some great competition for sure.
There is nothing like the Kentucky Horse Park in full swing of a big competition like this. It's a proper goosebump sort of feeling. Also with us, I'm delighted to say Vanessa Coleman, who is the director of competition for the weekend as well. Vanessa, good to speak to you, and very good to have you on the USCA podcast.
Thanks so much, Nicole, for having me. We're really excited.
It is our pleasure, because we have got, as I've said, a brilliant week in store alongside Mary Fike as well, who is the co-organizer of the AECs. It is an enormous logistical effort. First of all, Rob, let's introduce the AECs. So the American Eventing Championships, which runs all the way through from beginner novice all the way up to the advanced division, over 1,000 entries this year. And just give us a bit of background on it and how long it's been running, because it has grown and grown and grown into this enormous spectacle of eventing across all different levels.
Sure. Yeah. So it did start back in, I think it was 2004 in North Carolina, and it's moved around from place to place to place. But it's obvious that Kentucky's pretty popular, because we've got almost 1,200 entries, which, you know, it's going to get closer down to 1,000 here as we get up to the event. But as you said, it's the national championship for every level from beginner novice on the way up to advanced. We don't include the FEI divisions, leave those for other events to run. But for the national competitions, it's the best of the best. So we have, you know, my favorite divisions, the beginner novice and novice divisions. You've got competitors from all over the country who have all converged on the horse park, all the way up to Olympians. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. Lucky to be a part of it.
And it's an aim for so many people, from amateurs all the way through to the professional level. It is a real target in so many people's years. And actually, people have been looking to qualify for this championships. And obviously, after the disappointment of last year, Rob, we've got some people, I think the qualification period actually spans longer than we would normally see for the American Eventing Championships because of obviously the cancellation last year. So it's amazing to be able to actually welcome back some of those competitors who missed out last year that will be able to live out the dream in 2021.
That's right. Yeah. And everybody over the past 2 years or so, they've all really earned the right to be here by, you know, they have to get essentially 3 qualifying rides, which usually takes a lot more than that, because you got to get a placing in there, and then you've got to get some clear rounds to go along with it at the level. So yeah, everybody has earned the right to compete over the last 2 years. And you know, again, it's the best of the best.
It is, and it's going to be some hard fought competition for some amazing prizes as well. Lee, let me ask you, because obviously the team at Equestrian Events are hugely used to putting on a show for a massive amount of spectators. I know Mary is massively experienced in events with running a large number of horses. Bringing those two things together, where do you even start with an event of this magnitude? How long has this been in the planning process? And just how big an undertaking is it?
You know, that's a great question, Nicole. I mean, really, this started years ago. You know, we were, you know, Rob and I think we first started talking about bringing the ACs to Kentucky maybe in 2014, 2015, I think it was. And we knew that in order for us to do it at Kentucky, we needed great partners. In addition to the USCA, we needed Mary Fike and her team to kind of come along and join us in this effort. So it really is kind of a combination of partners that make it work. And I mean, it's an undertaking. I mean, when, you know, it's different than our event in April because it's, you know, more competition focused. But, you know, no better place to do it than the Kentucky Horse Park. And, you know, it's that kind of destination opportunity for athletes at every level, beginner, novice and up, to compete. And so that's kind of what I think makes it special. And we're just fortunate to have a good group of folks that are willing to work with us and put the efforts in to make it run.
And you mentioned there that the sort of the team behind it, because there is an enormous army of people. And at the time of recording this, Mary, in one of her many hats that she's wearing and doing an incredible job, is out actually heading to the event site to do some work on course as well. And there are so many people from Mick Costello and his team in terms of building the cross country tracks. But let's break it down slightly in terms of actually just what makes it so special. So Kentucky Horse Park, as we've mentioned, is one of those sort of destination events anyway. Then you add into the fact such an enormous event, over 1,000 competitors, as we've said. But let's talk, Vanessa, about sort of what makes it so special in the different phases, because the dressage, first off, is already taking it to the next level, to that championship level, isn't it?
It definitely is. And these riders are, all of them, from beginner, novice through advanced, all have the opportunity to ride on the GGT footing, and they're riding with two dressage judges, a judge at C, and then a judge at either B or E, depending on the configuration of the dressage arena, which I think truly brings it to a championship level for all of those riders.
And what about the hallowed turf of the cross country? Because it is the cross country that, you know, so many of us love, the real thrills and the spills and the highs and the lows and the adrenaline rush. But the adrenaline rush of riding on the Kentucky turf over a course that is designed by Derek DeGrazia, who is, of course, the usual Kentucky three-day event course designer, but also fresh from the Tokyo Olympic Games. What can people expect in terms of the cross-country track?
Well, every track is a true championship course. We were out there the other day just doing some work and checking on things, and you know, every obstacle we came to was more impressive than the one before it. And it, you know, getting to ride on this turf that really is, as you say, hallowed ground is a thrill for anyone. And it's in great shape right now. We've had some excellent rain and everything's just looking fabulous. So, it's going to be a tough competition. And I think everybody's just going to love it. We're really excited about it.
It is the dream, isn't it? You know, we see Derek DeGrazia courses at the Olympic Games at Kentucky, but for so many riders, it would be an absolute dream to jump some of his courses. And I've no doubt they will be hugely educational as well, in so much as the sort of the variation of getting harder and harder and harder as you go up the levels, but all, you know, similar questions being asked, and a great opportunity to get that experience as well. What about the final day? Because the Rolex Stadium is something just extra magical about the venue, and I think will add to the pressure for the show jumping as well.
Definitely. It is magical, and there's nothing like walking down that chute and heading into that arena. You know, that stadium provides an atmosphere that is unmatched in the country. Even if it doesn't have spectators in it, as we learned this past spring, it didn't change the atmosphere a whole lot because it is so impressive and such an amazing venue to be in. But everybody gets to show jump in that arena. There's just nothing like it. It's so hard to explain unless you've been on a horse and been in that arena. One of the highlights of the week on Friday evening, the advanced competitors are going to show jump during the competitors party. So we're really looking forward to that as well. That'll be super exciting competition. In 2019, we had a little bit of a delay with some weather one day. So there was one division of novice that got to jump under lights in that stadium too. So that definitely had some atmosphere as well. And they were cheered on by everyone there. And, you know, what a special night for everyone.
That's amazing. So the show jumping for the advanced will take place. And we're actually going to preview some of the advanced competitors a little bit later on in this show for you listeners, so you can pick out a few to keep an eye on. But the show jumping taking place during the competitors party, do you find that, obviously, you know, that the huge volume of people that you have on site with that number of horses, that actually, whereas you wouldn't normally see bigger crowds for sort of the beginner, novice level, that actually they're able to perform and really rise to the occasion in front of a bigger crowd as well?
Exactly. And they bring a lot, you know, they bring folks with them, their family, their friends, and they all come together in the barns. And I say come together, we are very conscientious and conscious of COVID, but they do come as a team to support each other. And it is amazing how supportive all of these riders are of each other. So, you know, it is definitely an atmosphere with a lot of a crowd compared to, say, a different event that may not have the same type of seating.
I think it sets it apart as well. And Lee, that's a really valid point. Obviously, you know, we have got so used to managing, you know, making sure that everybody stays safe now. And it's become very much a way of life at events as such. And I imagine that will be the same again heading through this weekend and sort of making sure everybody sticks to the protocols that are in place.
That's right. We're still aware of the ongoing, you know, COVID and what's taking place. And, you know, first off, we hope, you know, everybody takes their own safety and health and first priority, but then also think to the larger group, you know, do what you need to do and what's been asked. You know, we're going to follow the mandates and the guidelines by both the Commonwealth of Kentucky and USCF and others. But, you know, I think Rob mentioned earlier that, you know, everybody's qualified to be here, earned the right to be here. And I think the fact that we've all survived COVID this last year, it's a chance for us to celebrate and be together. So, you know, we're just going to encourage folks to follow whatever guidelines we have in place at the time. And we'll be nimble and ask them to be nimble with us.
Yeah. And I think, do you know what, that's something that the eventing community is so good at pulling together, and it will be a real celebration of eventing. And sort of everybody, I've no doubt, will enjoy being back together, but are very adaptable at making sure that they're safe as well. Rob, let me ask you about something else that's going on throughout the week as well, because the AEC Event College is also taking place. It's presented by Landsafe, and there is an educational tent which will focus on safety, horsemanship, and fitness, which are three topics of conversation that I know we've talked about a huge amount on this podcast, but become, you know, such a staple in the equestrian world. Tell us a bit about that, because it is a brilliant opportunity for everybody to get involved, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And for us, one of the main reasons why our organization exists is to educate about the sport. So understanding more about horsemanship, you know, fitness, safety, like you said, are key, and having the team of Landsafe with the Warrentons, it's a great opportunity, fun atmosphere to go in there and learn with some experts. And, you know, they'll even have a Q&A session on Thursday at 4:30, where that'll feature all three of the riding U.S. Olympic team members. So Doug Payne, Philip Dutton, and Boyd Martin. So they've all agreed to sit down and answer the public's questions, which is a lot like an activity we run during the Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event called Champions Live. So it's kind of like that. Outside of that, though, we'll have, I know Max Corcoran is going to be doing some talks about horsemanship and a bunch of other experts. So people should definitely attend that. I mean, the whole thing with the AEC is it's educational. It's a big party. You know, we've got a great trade fair. It's, you know, we try to bring something for everybody, and it's, you know, just a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And do you know what? I hope it's going to showcase everything about eventing and what we love about it, from the competition, from the community, from the sportsmanship and the educational side of things as well. Let me ask you, Rob, I know it's one of your favorite weeks of the year, but what are you most looking forward to, if I can put you on the spot?
Yeah, two things. One, and I always screw this up, the kiss and cry. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I always want to call it the kiss and ride, but the kiss and cry with families and friends sitting there on the podium, just like at the Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event, people standing up there rooting them on, whether it's in the beginner novice division or the Attaquan $60,000 advanced final. I mean, it's just so cool to see the, you know, again, the tears, the happiness. And then the other thing is, what I'll never forget in 2019, hearing people scream as they drop into the head of the lake. I'm not going to say the profanities, but a lot of like, I just jumped into the head of the lake as they're like galloping through at, you know, again, training level. It's amazing.
It's one of those sort of moments, as we said throughout the show, that you dream of, you know, the chance to do that and to say, you know what, I've been there, I've done that. Even if you're an amateur rider, even if you're not competing at the advanced level, it is so, so special. And one of the things about the AECs that we absolutely love. Lee, how about you? It has been, you know, such a brilliant showcase of the sport. It's brilliant to have it in Kentucky. What are you really looking forward to?
Yeah, very similar to Rob. I mean, just I remember 19, those same individuals riding through the head of the lake, and it's that experience that they will walk away from, you know, it'll be a memory, whether they place or not, you know, seeing the emotion of the riders as they're in the ring on their final day, if they were in the top 10 or whatever the case might be to get a ribbon, you know, it's just kind of it's a special experience. And, you know, we're fortunate to kind of get to see it up close and personal, and so I'm just excited to kind of see those firsts again for many new riders as they come this next week.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Vanessa, I've made it quite difficult for you coming to you last because the boys have picked, you know, some very, very big moments of the event. But how about you? What do you love about it the most?
I have to agree with both of them, not to sound, you know, the same, but the people, I mean, just from the correspondence we've had leading up to it, everybody is so excited to come and be here and be at the horse park. And, you know, I always struggle even in the spring, you know, what is my favorite moment? But, you know, it's always that first horse out on cross country is just, there's, I think you used the goosebumps term earlier, because there's just nothing like it. And then when the last horse at the end of cross country, and now with everybody getting to ride in Rolex Stadium, and they're right, the emotion is there, and they're so happy to be here, and we're happy to have them here, and just enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah, and I think that's something that actually we feel now more than ever, isn't it? You know, we're so grateful to be able to do a sport that we love with some amazing people in amazing places, and no more amazing places than the Kentucky Horse Park. So we're really looking forward to it. Rob, people can watch along at home, am I right in saying, even if they can't make it to Kentucky?
Yep. The live stream will be available. This year, we'll make sure to have at least a portion of every level shown through the live stream. And that'll be on the US Eventing website. I believe they'll be able to access it. Yeah, you can tune in whether you're there or not.
There you go. Listeners, something to keep you entertained. Well, look, Rob, Lee, Vanessa, thank you all so much, because I appreciate it is madness getting ready for that number of horses logistically. I'm sure you're all completely snowed and very busy. So we really appreciate your time. And thank you so much for sharing your excitement for the AECs with us.
Thank you.
Go AEC.
Thanks so much, Nicole.
Now, listeners, as a special treat, I've actually managed to catch up with a very busy but very special lady. She is a huge part of the organizing team for the AECs. We mentioned her a few times a little bit earlier on in the show. Mary Fike, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
It is good to have you with us. Now, we wanted to talk. We've obviously been speaking about the sort of the big spectacle that the AECs are going to be. But I wanted to ask you, first of all, what's your background? Because you're used to running events with a huge number of competitors and a huge amount of sort of horses competing over a weekend. So how did that come about for you?
Well, I was a rider in my youth, and as a young, energetic barn manager in North Carolina, I decided it would be fun to put on a horse show at our local stables and just winged it, cut down some trees and lashed them around, and people jumped and we had a great time. And I just kept on doing that. When I moved to Kentucky, I was fortunate enough that my parents bought a farm, and I decided I was going to put on a USEA recognized event and went about just doing everything that I thought needed to be done from a competitor's point of view. And then I was lucky enough to fall into the organizing chair for a competition that is the Mid-South Team Challenge. It's a sort of a fun team event. And it was held at the very young Kentucky Horse Park before it became the icon that it is right now. But as the facility grew, the entries grew, and the quality of the courses grew. And all of a sudden you look and you're doing a 400 or 500 horse competition, but all of the tricks of the trade that I've kind of learned over the years. I guess I did my first event here in Kentucky in 1982, maybe. And so it's just kind of grown ever since. But I will have to say the Kentucky Horse Park has been a huge factor in the success and the ability of being able to put on larger competitions. It's just a fabulous facility. And I'm lucky to be able to work there.
It's an incredible venue. So 40 years nearly. There's going to be an anniversary next year, Mary.
Yeah, I try not to think about it too much. I am thrilled that I still enjoy it. It's like a giant puzzle that you put together, and you never know where the pieces are coming from or which ones are missing at the time. But I have to say, I started out thinking of it kind of like a party that you give for your friends. You want to do something that they're going to come and enjoy. You want to put your best face forward. And it's all for the horses and riders. And for the most part, I mean, I can't say there aren't some frustrating things that happen up and down the way, but for the most part, I really still enjoy it. It's quite a challenge, but it's exciting, and I get to work with some of the most fabulous, talented people. So until I don't enjoy it, I guess I'll keep doing it.
Keep doing it. Well, everyone's very grateful for you doing it, Mary, because it is an absolutely enormous undertaking. And no 2 days are ever the same. I'm sure you have seen plenty of different things that you never thought you would in that time frame. Let me ask you about the logistical effort and the volunteer army, I'm going to call them, because it is such a huge number of people who come from all walks of life, who come together and give up their time so generously, so freely, without complaint, to be able to facilitate events such as the AECs. So just how many volunteers does it take to run an event such as this?
Well, the AEC right now is, we have 267 individuals on our volunteer list. And those individuals are filling 768 volunteer slots, from crossing guards to bit check to scribe to jump crew to painting crews to any number of descriptive jobs that they have to do. And we are very fortunate that we've got a huge talented and loyal volunteer base. People are busy, and to think that that number of people are willing to come and travel on their own expense and give up as much time as they do to work in the heat, the cold, the rain, is just really heartwarming. We could not do it without them.
No, and there is no such thing as a fair weather volunteer. They are there, come rain or shine. They come from all manner of different walks of life as well. And I know some people have been helping for a really long time and others might be doing it for the first time. They've come from different distances. So are you able to highlight a few of those that have been sort of a big part of organising events, either at the horse park or in your competitions over the last few years?
Well, there are two that come to mind that come up from Florida. John Marshall and his daughter, Amanda Ang. They've been coming and volunteering at our competitions for 10 or 15 years. And they are personal friends of mine. And they do, Amanda and John, do anything that we ask them, from working in the office to running cross-country scores to stewarding the dressage rings. And they are wonderful. There's another individual. Her name is Pam Kimmel. She lives here in Lexington, and she's an adult amateur rider. But she is our steady cross-country steward, and she is excellent at it. And she doesn't let an event go by that she doesn't step forward and volunteer. And I know she's been doing that for 10 or 15 years. Even if she's riding, she gets her horses out of the way and shows up and does that job. We've got a gentleman by the name of John Banderchek who comes down from Chicago, and he helps all week. I can go on and on. A little bit of fun data is that we have 27 volunteers who have come from multiple states far away, and they work 5 days or more straight through for us. And I just find that amazing. They come on their own dime for a t-shirt and a sandwich and the love of the sport. It's amazing.
It really is. And they give up their time and their expense and everything that it takes to make it happen, for everybody to hopefully go and have such an enjoyable, fun time at the AECs. And we so appreciate it. And do you know what? There is so much to take from volunteering. And I'm sure you have come across people that are hugely experienced, as they have been, you know, you've just mentioned some of those names just there that have held so many different jobs and roles within different competitions over the last goodness knows how many years. But for anybody, Mary, who is actually listening to this that thinks, do you know what, I would really like to volunteer, but what do I do? How do I get into that? How could that sort of be something that I can help with? And why can they do it? And what will they, what should they do?
Well, I think that if they're looking to volunteer at their local competitions, I would recommend that they reach out to, if they don't know the organizer personally, maybe they might know somebody who does compete, to get the name of the organizer. Starting at the smaller local competitions is a great way to learn some of the jobs and to get their feet wet without being too terribly intimidated if a large competition sounds a little overwhelming. The United States Eventing Association has got a volunteer incentive program now that the events can create a work program in that software where volunteers can sign up. The different work slots are listed in the times and descriptions of what's involved, and they can go online to sign up there. It has a pretty good email communication that tells you what's available in your area if you register, and that is the eventingvolunteers.com. But if all of that seems a little too overwhelming, again, I just recommend going to the local competitions or people who compete and get involved in that level, and you know, maybe they will end up being people who travel from all over to the bigger competitions. But they can, it's a great group of people, lots of camaraderie. And as for competitors, it's a great way to learn the inside of the sport. You get to watch horses go. If your eye is open, you can learn a lot by that. And I think in the long run, it makes you a better competitor, rounds out your understanding of the sport as a whole.
Yes, it absolutely does. You will make friends for life as well. So listeners, if you have ever thought, do you know what, I'd like to give it a go, then do it. You won't regret it at all. Mary, before I let you go, because I know that your schedule is jam-packed, getting organized with everything for those AECs, what are you most looking forward to?
Good weather. I think it's mostly the coming together of all these people and watching marvelous horses go. We have everything from the entry level amateur, junior, beginner, novice horses to Olympians on their 4- and 5-star horses coming, and to see them all competing together on the same competition week is amazing. Some of our local amateurs may be stabled next to Boyd Martin for all they know, and that's pretty special for them. And just you know, the joy of the sport. When it goes well, it's beautiful. And so I'm hoping for a good week and to see all my friends and to cheer them on, and then to take a sleep in a little bit on Monday morning.
You will have earned it. You will have absolutely earned it. Mary, thank you so much. Good luck. And we'll be all cheering you on, wishing you all the best. And listeners, I hope that you've enjoyed a little insight into the world of volunteering and just what it takes to run an event such as the AEC. So, Mary, thank you.
Well, thank you. You have a wonderful day.
And finally, for you listeners, we wanted to give you a little preview into the $60,000 Adequan USCA Advanced Final, where some of the best horse and riders are going to be battling it out. And as we heard earlier on in the show, everybody will be watching on as well as they show jump under lights. So, Derma's with me. Dee, I'm looking forward to this because there are some big combinations lining up.
Big names. As always, Nicole, when it comes to the big prizes, things start getting interesting. You know, we can talk about all of the wonderful, you know, about the AECs as a, you know, as a concept even. And then, you know, just how great the whole thing is when it comes together. It's one of those moments. I think we probably, did we talk about it at the very start of the year in terms of things to look forward to? I think,
yeah,
you know, it sits there with kind of the intercollegiates, the Olympics, and then the AECs, like, pretty special little run that you have. So yeah, AECs. But you know, we talk about the wonderful things about it, and then suddenly you've got to get to this point, which is who's going to win when you put all these top horses together in a class. I also think, Nicole, this might be one of the biggest prize pots in the sport at this level.
I think it might be.
Like, you're up there, probably Aachen, which is in a couple of weeks, will be bigger at 4-star short, but it's an international, certainly at national level. I mean, the advanced class in the AECs probably doesn't really feel like a national level, but it is. But I think this is, I would say, the biggest national level event in the world. Non-international is probably the way to say that.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty close to it. I mean, $60,000 prize pot. You put that kind of money in front. It is definite.
Sure, there's nowhere in the UK that's doing that.
No, and there isn't.
They're the only ones that could potentially be bigger, I would think. Okay, so it's the biggest, I would say, Nicole, the biggest non-international prize pot in the world.
Oh, exciting. So we have, listeners, run it through the Equa Ratings Prediction Centre, and that was based on 4-star data because it works internationally. So on 4-star data, which the advanced is the national level of 4-star, it actually brings out Marilyn Little RF Scandalous as the favourites, 23% win chance. They had a fall last time out at Great Meadows, so I'll be interested to see them. It's not the ideal preparation run for them. She'll obviously want to put that behind her and come out. She'll be leading the dressage from those in the field. She's got to hold on to that spot. And I think there is a certain Boyd Martin who won the last, actually, the last Adequan advanced final back in 2019 on one of his rides here this weekend. He's got two really good chances. He likes a good prize pot as well, does Boyd.
He's here to win, Nicole.
Exactly. I know.
It almost feels like you want to talk about the field without Boyd. I think Marlon, if she's there, is going to give him a run for his money because she's able to start on such a great score that he has to get past her, which means she has to make a mistake. As you say, Nicole, at time of recording, we just don't know if she's going to be there. If she's not there, look, he's a red hot favorite because he'll have the top two horses. He's already the most likely person to win because he has two horses in the top three in terms of what the numbers are suggesting. On cue, a little bit ahead of Long Island Tea. But he's already the most likely winner. He's already the most likely person to be taking home a check because he is double-handed with those two big horses. If she doesn't run, he's red-hot favorite then. You know, and who, I mean, then I think you move to who can challenge him. He has to probably slip up twice. Colin Rutledge, probably one of your top ones who I would say Covert Rights likely to be there. As a challenger, Will Coleman, we've talked a lot about. I'd say tight lines, your Carolina winner, Nicole. Big shout, I'd say.
Yeah, I was just doing some digging, actually, on if we went back to, because Will Coleman and tight lines will be, I think, very fast cross country. I'm just going to go back to Boyd and Long Island Tea. Fun fact for you listeners. So, last time out, this horse scored 23.8 in the first phase. Now, that was in a four-star at Jersey Fresh back in May. So, hasn't run internationally since that date. But if he could get down into those sort of mid-low 20s in the dressage, I think he will put enough pressure to be right up there at the top of the podium at the end of the week. The one thing I would say is you only have to go back two runs and he's over 11 marks, or he is exactly 11 marks higher than that with a 34.8. Then he goes back to 24.4 again. So there is a real variation. But what I was trying to say was 23.8 for Long Island Tea, Boyd Martin's last run internationally in the first phase, is actually Boyd's second best four-star short test from all of those horses that he has, going back to 2008. So it's a horse that is well and truly able to mix it in the first phase, but he's got to get off to a good start. So that for me puts Long Island Tea, I think, slightly ahead of On Cue, who obviously was so impressive at Kentucky earlier on this year. But let's move away from Boyd. Sorry, I got drawn back to him, dear. I was sort of sucking back in.
He has that effect.
I know.
I'll give you one that will keep certain people the kind of if I'm a Hale Bob fan, I know that Rob Burke is a Mixmaster C fan. Am I right?
Very right. He loves Mixmaster C. He really does. I mean,
he's been talking about Mixmaster C, I'd say, for 2 years, and Maya Black is now arriving here in form. Two wins in their last two international runs. Most recently winner at Rebecca Farm in the four-star short. So yeah, I think, I mean, if you look at Mixmaster C record, like, they're now down in that for the first time, really, I suppose. They're arriving into those mid-20s. They have a very good cross-country jumping record. They've won Mistake at Tryon there last year, and won a long time ago at 20 penalties. They're fast. They have made the time a couple of times, and they don't tend to pick up too many time penalties. They're good jumpers. I think Mixmaster C, I would be putting on the podium. Podium here, Nicole, is like winning a normal event for in terms of cash.
It's better than winning a normal event. Like,
yeah, just get on the podium. Mixmaster C in the top three. Maya Black in form.
Okay, fair enough. I would say actually from there, agree. Rob Burke will be listening to this, pumping his fist, thinking, yes, absolutely. Sydney Elliott, QC Diamond Hare, who will be representing the US in Aachen this year. This will be one of their last prep runs for that. And I mean, this horse has a really, really good record. He's only an 11-year-old and he's only been outside of the top 10 once, going all the way back to 2018 in about well over a dozen runs, 14, 15 runs, I think that is. So really, really solid performer. Would just like to be sub 30 in the first phase, more than capable, but, and their dressage has been improving. Their 6-run average would be definitely getting smaller. So I would say, I think they've got a great chance this weekend. There's some really good names in the field, you know, like Doug Payne has Quantum Leap as well. Bruce Davidson, Carlivo, actually look out for them, particularly in the first phase. And that horse is a really good show jumper. So if they are in contention going into that final show jumping phase, look out for them. It'll depend a little bit on whether it's a time test, because not the quickest. Matt Flynn has Wizard as well. There's some really nice horses. Lauren Nicholson, Paramount Importance. So I think there is a lot of strength and depth. And the one thing I would say, Dee, is $60,000 prize pot, as we've said, fair play to Adequan for their support, because that really does make everybody raise their game. They put their foot down cross country and it gives a real good old competition.
I am surprised that you skipped over Cooley Quicksilver.
Oh, sorry, Liz. Liz Halliday Sharp. I don't know. It wasn't intentional.
They were second at Rebecca Farm. Obviously, they were at Kentucky then. So 5-star horse. They've been all over the world as well. Cooley Quicksilver. Trying to think, when was the last time they were in Europe? They were definitely at Buccalo a couple of years ago, I think. But they're, you know, they've traveled all over the place. They did all those. I'm just looking at the record here now. They did Buccalo. Do you remember 2019 season? They did Buccalo Blenheim, 9-year-old class at Blenheim, Mill Street, over in Ireland. Plenty of experience. Cooley Quicksilver, wait and see on the time. I would say that'll be interesting, but they're able to start pretty low. They're, I would say, in there right alongside my Black Mix Master C. Are we doing our podiums? Because I think I need to start calls on this.
Go on, make a call. Podium, top three, who wins it?
I think Boyd wins it.
Which horse?
Do I have to pick a horse?
Yes.
I think it'll be Long Island Tea then.
Okay.
No, I think it'll be On Cue. I'm gonna stick with it this time. It's gonna be Boyd and On Cue. It's going to be Mixmaster C second. It's going to be Will Coleman and Tight Lines in second, I mean, and Mixmaster C, Maya Black in three. I'm sorry, Nicole. I do this every show. I still can't get it right. What's fun about this is, like, you can pretty much throw up, I'd say, those top six or seven names into the air and see just which way to land. That's what you want in these kind of top level competitions. Like, I'm just saying all this without Marlon, but like, there's not really anything between Boyd's two horses. Maybe you'd say On Cue's a little bit ahead. Like, Tight Lines bring so much to the party. I think Will, you know, you think the Olympians there, like, there's multiple versions of them. You know, the Could-Bees, the Liz stepping out, Doug Payne in. You know, there's loads of stories here at the top of this group. Very talented, great US field, great for Adequan that actually they've got so much talent here.
Yeah.
And great for, I think, a few of these riders to go and compete for a top class prize pot.
I am put off by Marilyn Little's horse Fall last time out with Our Scandalous, which is why I'm not going to put them on the top of my podium. I think Boyd Martin will be going home with a nice big
Which one?
I'm going to say Long Island Tea wins.
Right.
And I'm going to say he does a 1-2. On Cue is second for Boyd Martin. Boyd Martin is a very, very happy man at the end of this. And then I'm going to say in third is Sydney Elliott, QC Diamond Hare. Listeners, there you go. Oh, I know. God, it's a good field. And look, I hope, listeners, that you are going to enjoy every single moment of the AECs, whether you are going whether you are supporting, whether you're watching from home, whether it's something that actually you've heard us talking about on this show from Lee, Vanessa, Rob, Mary as well, and think, do you know what? I would love to be able to do that. So you can qualify all the way through the levels. That is what is so special about it. Dee, thank you. It has been a flying visit to look at those top combinations, but I hope, listeners, we have given you a bit of food for thought as to who you could be cheering on in that big $60,000 Adequan USEA Advanced Final. Who wins it? Let us know who you think. And Dee, thank you very much. We'll have you back again soon.
Thanks, Nicole.
Listeners, we hope you've enjoyed it. We have been loving hearing from all of our different guests. So a big thank you to Rob, Lee, Vanessa, to Mary, and of course, Dee as well. And we'll be back soon with more on the USEA official podcast. But thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.